Hello, I'm Carl Sabatino. We are back with Roland Smith, and this is Smith Sabatino on America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network. Roland, please.
A question for you, Carl. Why are not more millionaires and billionaires giving to help the world?
And that's a very good question.
Okay. We may have an answer today from philanthropic entrepreneur Tim McCarthy, who says that the wealthiest Americans are sitting on an opportunity to invest in humanity. Well, Tim McCarthy, welcome to Smith Sabatino. And I'd like to, what do you mean by all of that?
Oh, hey, Roland. Hi, Carl. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure.
Just that there's, I've found through my own experience that you can get a certain amount of money, and that certain is fun and cool. But after a while, it's like pouring gas on the tarmac after your tank's full.
Interesting.
Well, okay. Once explain yourself there, please.
Explain yourself. The studies, even the research. I mean, some pretty in-depth research. John F. Kennedy School at Harvard. This cat that just have to find his name, but some pretty in-depth quantitative study says that after $75,000 a year, there is no increase in happiness.
Really?
Zero.
Huh.
There was a study done at New York University some years ago. I'm an alumnus and now trustee at the school. And it was a study done on the giving to the poor vis-a-vis the holiday season, which is upon us, Christmas time, Hanukkah, and so on, and those that give by money. And the money that was given proportional to their income was given by mostly low-income people.
Isn't that amazing?
And I was amazed when this is back in 1976. I had just graduated, and I was amazed by the story. But we do know that billionaires and millionaires do give.
They do.
And they give, and many of them give quite generously. But I don't think they give in proportion to the numbers I've just discussed with reference to our low and lower middle income people. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, the thought is that the ones that give more, the people, like one of my real heroes is this whole Buffett Gates pledge. If
yes.
You've heard about that.
There's absolutely.
They've gotten 114 of the world's 400 billionaires to irrevocably pledge more than half their wealth upon their death. And so there are a lot of people who give well proportionately. In fact, I think Buffett's already given most of it to the Gates Foundation and to his kids' foundations. So there are people who do, and as usual, there are people who don't. And the only point I seek to share is that those who do have a hell of a lot more fun than those who don't.
Well, that
whether
does
they're
make,
poor or rich.
Yeah, that does make sense. But what's initially, is there one factor or two or three that motivate individuals who have a lot of money to give to various charitable organizations?
My theory, and this may make you, this might strike you wrong, my theory is selfishness.
Interesting.
Well,
explain that, please.
Yeah, please.
Well, some cat electronically transferred me $45 million in 2007, and I've been, very poor. And now apparently I'm very wealthy, and I do all that I've done in these last 7 years, which I've been doing some of it prior to that too. But mostly what I've done in the last 7 years is for me. It's selfish. It's I'm after pleasing me. I mean it's cool that it affects a lot of poor people and stuff. But what's really cool is how it makes me feel about myself.
So are you saying that human nature does get in the way of personal fulfillment?
I've never heard it said that way, and I'm writing it down right now.
and you'll get
that's
a lot
a great
of
great line. Honest to goodness.
That's why he's Roland Smith.
In the way of personal fulfillment, Roland is a J Smith.
G's. Carl always asks me what it stands for, and I try to tell him it's great, but it's not necessarily true.
Honestly, that's a great comment. I think indeed, my mother used to say to me, "Hey Timmy, it's not you that I don't trust; it's human nature." that I don't trust.
Yeah. Well, what is it that goes through your mind, though? I mean, when you decide to give philanthropically, I mean, there's got to be something that motivates you to say, this is a good idea.
So, shameless plug, Empty Abundance is the book. And that answers your question in 150 or 175 pages. But the quicker answer, you know, for the program is just saying I guess the first most important thing is the research-proven warm glow, you know, when we give and we actually see it has an impact.
Mm-hmm.
It actually sustains, you know, our mind-body-spirit connection. The second is probably very specifically to do with, you know, with mind body. If I'm physically fit and at the same time doing things that are spiritually fit and at the same time pushing my intellectual boundaries and stuff, you know, that makes for a pretty good life. Sounds too traditional, sounds too old fashioned, but it's what I do in the book is just try to share all the stories of when I've not done that. And when I have done that.
Do you need a personal connection from somebody to...
I do not.
Hmm? What?
I do not.
You do not. You do not need to look in somebody's eye and say, yeah, they're deserving of this and that.
Well, that's one of the funny things you'll find in the book. When I did try to look them in the eye, I ended up curled up in a fetal position, crying my... I mean it. I really did. It was
I know.
In El Salvador in the ghetto, and I just... I can't do it.
Yes. That...
I don't have that makeup.
That is the giving I call giving at the point. And I've been involved as Roland knows for many, many years in philanthropic work through my family who did it for over 90 years before their passing. And there's a term used at the Christmas holiday season called the gift of giving. And the gift of giving is what we're circling around here. That gift of giving is a habit. It's something that when you find that is what makes you comfortable, then that gift of giving, and it's very difficult to look people in the eye and say, here, but you'd rather do it anonymously, and it makes you feel better sometimes.
Well, wait, I would disagree with that, Carl.
Okay.
I think looking somebody in the eye, you get that spiritual connection
that
Tim is talking about.
But Tim's not getting that connection.
I am not. I give to those who serve. I serve those who serve the poor. I never serve them directly.
Is that because you're
not at that point that Carl's talking about? So I get what he's saying. Sorry, Roland.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, is that because it's an emotional thing with you?
Exactly.
And you look at them?
It's an emotional
thing. I don't have the constitution.
I'll bet you do.
Exactly the point.
I'll bet you do.
We're gonna get you going, Tim, on this one. Because Roland and I are both
But let me give you an example. I was coming to work today before I met Carl, and I'm walking by a Starbucks here in the city of New York.
Okay.
And a woman is standing there, and she's got a little not a tin cup. She's got a paper cup in her hand, and she says, "Please, please, I'm homeless. I need." I reached into my pocket. I was going to give her a couple of dollars, and the only thing I had was I pulled out two 20s. And she said, "Oh, you really will never miss that. Please, I could really use that." And, you know, instead, I put the 20s back in my pocket and I gave her a $5 bill.
Okay.
But now I felt good doing that, even though a little piece of me said, you know, I wonder if I've been had.
But the gift of giving is what it's about.
Yeah. Tim, what was yours?
So, I 40 years ago, I went to see a woman friend who was divorced, and she had a Down syndrome kid in her house for our dinner. And after she took him home, I said, "You're the most amazing person I've ever met. You got three kids. You're going out of your mind being a single mom, and you're bringing this kid in." She said, "We do it every Sunday." I said, "You're the most amazing person." She said, "I don't do it for him. I do it for me." So I guess that's on the – actually, I didn't answer your question. What I would do with the person with the paper cup outside of the Starbucks is stop, look him in the eye, give him a big smile, and say, "God bless you."
That's exactly what I did with the $5.
I wouldn't have touched the $5 because she's going to get juice with it.
Well, see, now that's a judgment on your part. And I cannot believe that everybody that asks is going to use it for a nefarious or other reasons.
You know? Well, but did you think, Roland, that maybe you should have sent that to the homeless shelter where she'll be tonight?
Well, I don't. Tim, you want to stay with us for the next section?
Sure.
All right, we're going to do another 6 minutes here in a few minutes.
I have some questions, so please stay with us.
Yeah, please stay with us.
This is Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith. This is Smith Sabatino, heard on the Envision Radio Network. Stay with us. America
Weekend. Order in the court.
This is Attorney Jay Coleman with the final verdict. Dean is 24 years old. When he flunked out of college, he moved back with his parents. He hasn't established a steady job, and he's neglected to pay his credit card and cell phone bills for several months. Dean's parents are concerned his bad credit will start to affect them because bills are sent to their address. Creditors are calling their number, and they have the same last name. Should they be worried? The final verdict after this.
The Movie Man 6 Second DVD review starts now.
22 Jump Street is the same as 21. Hilarious. And Tatum and Hill will be partying all the way to the bank. By me.
Harry and Lloyd are back and dumber than ever. Dumb and Dumber 2, rated PG-13, now playing.
No, unless Dean's parents co-signed for his credit card, his bad credit won't affect them. And that's the final verdict.
Think green. Harrison with you. Remember when they used to say what's good for General Motors is good for America? Well, General Motors has started reopening car plants, this time hiring all-American labor and during a recession. William Tiger, the White Marsh, Maryland plant manager.
We had a great announcement today. We're able to announce that General Motors is investing $246 million into developing and implementing this new motor technology. It's going to wind up being a first for General Motors to manufacture motors here in the U.S. It's also an announcement for White Marsh because we're going to wind up creating about another 200 additional jobs. We have the ability for the big cars to get better mileage. This new technology actually takes a motor that'll be 20% smaller, 20% lighter, and it'll have 20% more power.
GM plant manager William Tiger from the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com.